أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي بعدا فلا يرى وقربا فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفي المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة الباقية على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر. صلوات الله. In our discussion in English, we have been trying to trace the historical events of Islam from the early days in order to trace the people who brought about the atmosphere and the situation and the circumstances of the tragedy which took place in Karbala. What we have seen till now is that the opposition of Islam, led by Banu Umayyah, the grandfather of Muawiyah, and later on by Abu Sufyan, the father of Muawiyah, this continued till the last days of the life of the Prophet. Only when Muslim gained upper hand over the Kuffar of Makkah, we saw last night that Abu Sufyan came into the fold of Islam. He surrendered to Islam rather than using the word accept Islam. And we have seen, by looking at the circumstances and his remarks to Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet, that he did not believe that the Prophet had done this with the religious motive. Rather, he thought that what Rasulullah had done in the name of Islam was just to establish a kingdom for himself and his family. After the Prophet's death, we see that the strategy of the enemy had changed. They tried their best to the utmost of their ability to destroy Islam from without. When they could not do that, people like Abu Sufyan changed their strategy and became part of the Muslim society and Muslim world, and was sitting there waiting for the opportunity to pursue his own agenda, his own plan, whenever the opportunity came up for him. And I'll show to you two attempts by him. In one he failed, but in another he succeeded. Soon after the death of the Prophet, when the issue of Khilafat came up, and when Amirul Mu'minin Ali bin Abi Talib was deprived, when he was deprived of his right to become the leader and ruler of the Muslim society, and others were brought in, that was probably the most difficult time in the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because the situation was so sensitive and so chaotic that Imam decided, for the sake of the larger interest of Islam in the Muslim world, he decided against using Zulfiqar, against using his sword to get his right. Rather, he and his close followers just limited themselves to protest about what has happened, and whenever the opportunity availed, Imam always spoke up against what had taken place and very clearly expressed his right to Khilafat. But for the sake of Islam and for the sake of the survival of the Muslim society, Imam did not resort to Zulfiqar. During those sensitive days, one day, somebody comes to the door of Ali bin Abi Talib, reciting poems in the praise of Ali, supporting the claim of the Banu Hashim for Khilafat Raad and the others. And when Imam came out, he saw that that person standing outside his door was Abu Sufyan. Means you can see how the enemy is basically turning into different forms and shape and trying to create more chaos in the Muslim society. When he saw Imam opening the door and Imam came out, he says, O children of Abd Manaf, referring to the ancestors of the Prophet, will you be passive while others have been made rulers over you? By Allah, he says to Ali, by Allah, if you want, I will fill the streets of Medina with horses and men. Oh Ali, just give me the indication and I'll bring an army to support you. And then you stand up and fight for your rights. Amir al-Mu'mineen was not a person who believed in seeking power by any means, because to him, power was not the ultimate goal. For him, the aim and the objective did not necessarily justify the means. That because he had the right for Khilafat and to rule on the Muslim people, so he should go and reach to that objective by any means possible. No. Especially when people like Abu Sufyan, the declared enemy of the Prophet till yesterday, comes up in the name of supporting him, of course Imam is not going to accept that support. And so Imam says, oh Abu Sufyan, go away. Go away, because by Allah, I know what are your intentions. You do not seek Allah in what you are saying. You have always been planning against Islam and the Muslims. And now you would like to take advantage of the chaotic situation of the present time. Abu Sufyan was a shrewd politician. He did not just turn back and go away. He tried one more step in order to incite Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, O Ali, it seems that now you have lost that courage and you are afraid of dying. If Imam was the abd of his feelings and his emotions and desires, he might have given in. But Imam says, O Abu Sufyan, go away, you don't know me. He says, go away. Wallah la ibn Abi Talib anisun bil maut min al-tifl bi sudi ummi. Abu Sufyan, go away. This is the same Ali, the same son of Abu Talib, who is still more at ease and at home with death than compared to a small infant, a child, small child, who is at home with the breast of the mother. I am not afraid, but I know your motives and your niyat is not right, and so I don't want your support, go away. And so this is what we see. We are just trying to keep a trace on those who planned against the Prophet of Islam at all times, and this is their first attempt. But then, during the first 3 years of the Khilafat of the first Khalifa, a battle took place on the Syrian borders known as the Battle of Yarmouk. And there we see a very mysterious thing happening. The same Abu Sufyan who was enemy of the Prophet, the same Abu Sufyan who came to the door of Ali saying, I know you have the right of Khilafat. And at least, you know, Abu Sufyan coming there and saying, oh Ali, I know you are the rightful Khalifa, shows that people knew at that time who is the rightful Khalifa. If Abu Sufyan knew, you want to tell me others didn't know about it? So this whole issue about, you know, maybe people didn't know, they were not sure what the Prophet had said, that really doesn't stand from the historical point of view. If an enemy of the Prophet like Abu Sufyan knew that the Prophet wanted Ali to be the Khalifa, then everyone else, especially those who claim to be so close, must have known about it. And now we see in the Battle of Yarmouk, when the Muslim forces are sent, the same Abu Sufyan who offered his help to Imam Ali and was rejected by Ali, is now offering his support to the first Khalifa, and he is welcomed in this camp, and he is honored by them to the extent that the eldest son of Abu Sufyan, known as Yazid bin Abi Sufyan, is made the commander of the Muslim forces who went in the Battle of Yarmouk on the Syrian border when they conquered the Syrian territory in the 12th and 13th year after the Hijrah. Yazid was the elder brother of Muawiyah. His son also is of the same name. So then got confused. Yazid bin Abu Sufyan, and that Yazid bin Muawiyah. In the 13th year of the Hijrah after the death of the first Khalifa, the second Khalifa again reinstates Yazid bin Muawiyah in the same prominent position in Syria. Not only that, after 2 years he promotes Yazid bin Abu Sufyan from the commander of the Muslim forces to the position of the governor of Syria. And Yazid bin Abi Sufyan stayed in that position till he died in the year 18th after Hijrah. And upon his death, the second Khalifa appointed Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan as the new governor of the Syrian territories. What is interesting here is that how come Abu Sufyan changed sides? And did he just change sides like that, or was there a bargain and deal made? We do not know about it. History is silent about it. But knowing the mind and the lifestyle of Abu Sufyan, he must have been given something in return. And it's important, you have to understand the situation of Syria. Syria was the new Muslim land conquered by the Muslims after the death of the Prophet. It was a border province of the Muslim Empire. When I use the word border province, beyond Syria was the Eastern Roman Empire. Majority of the people of Syria were mostly Christians before. Now they are coming into the fold of Islam. They never knew the Prophet. They hadn't seen the Prophet. The Prophet died before Islam reached Syria. And the Islam which they learned through the leadership of Yazid and Muawiyah bin Abu Sufyan. You can understand what type of Islam they were taught. And you will see this was very significant in all the problems created from Imam Ali during his Khilafah. And this is very significant because this whole province of Syria in one corner of the world of Islam is given into the hand of the clan of Abu Sufyan to do whatever they want. And from day one they converted the minds of the new Muslims of Syria in such a way, and Islam was presented to them where Rasulullah and Banu Umayyah were very close to one another, to an extent that even the title of Ahlul Bayt was used for Abu Sufyan and his children in Syria. Because those were, in a way, innocent people who never knew who is Rasulullah, who are the Ahlul Bayt. They didn't know the story of Islam from before that day. And so this played a very significant role in the ultimate control of the Umayyad clan, the family of Abu Sufyan, over the entire land of Islam later on. And so we hold the early rulers responsible in a way for what happened in Karbala. And these are not just my words. There is a very famous Sunni historian known as Al-Balaghuri. He has a book known as Ansabul Ashraf. There he talks about the life of Imam Hussein and the events of Karbala. And he quotes a letter by Abdullah bin Umar, the son of the second Khalifa, whom I mentioned yesterday night in the Urdu Majlis. Abdullah bin Umar had written a very strong letter to Yazid after the Shahadat of Imam Hussein, condemning Yazid for what he had done. Yazid sent him a reply, and both the letter and the reply have been quoted by Al-Balaghuri in his book Ansab al-Ashraf. And there Yazid says, if you think I have done wrong, then don't blame me because it was something started by your own father. What I am doing is not something new. I am just continuing what had been started and established by your own father before. And so Balaghuri makes a comment at the end of that letter. He says, وَمِنْ هَا هُنَا قِيلَ قُتِلَ الْحُسَيْنِ يَوْمِ السَّقِيفَ. He says, this is the reason why it is famous and it is known that Imam Hussein was killed not on the day of Ashura in Karbala, but on the day of Saqifa after the death of the Prophet. Because that is the route, that is the vehicle used by Abu Sufyan and his people in order to gain prominence and political power in the Muslim world after the death of the Prophet. And we move on, even to the time of the third Khalifa. We see that the way the third Khalifa comes to power, the way the committee is formed by the second Khalifa during his last days, it was made up in such a way that there was no chance that Amir al-Mu'minin would become the Khalifa, although he was a member of that committee. And the person whose Khilafat was guaranteed by the way the committee had been formed was Uthman bin Affan, one of the members of the Umayyad clan to which Abu Sufyan belonged. And Abu Sufyan was the head of that group. And so by the time of the third Khilafat, not only Syria had come under the control of the Umayyad clan, but the entire Islamic empire came under the rule of the family, which were very close to Abu Sufyan, and Abu Sufyan was considered to be their head and their respective leader, although he had become very blind. Just one statement about him, and I'll just finish for tonight. When Uthman becomes Khalifa, the third Khalifa, Abu Sufyan, a blind person now, very old and blind, goes to Uhud, where Hamza was killed and he has been buried. He goes to the grave of Hamza and he says, "Oh Hamza, I wish you had been alive today to see that everything that you had been fighting for has finally come into our hands." And so, when you connect this statement with what he had said earlier, it shows that there, the Islam which he had accepted was just verbally and in appearance. And the circumstances were such that they were able to gain the political power of the Muslim world, and we will see how things moved on, inshallah, from tomorrow night, that eventually the situation became so worse that Imam had to take that step, which led to the ultimate sacrifice and the Shahadat al-Uzma for the sake of survival of Islam and to preserve the spirit and the pristine and pure teachings of the religion of Islam. Salawat alaykum. There is a lot to be said about this 20 years that I have just passed through. But we do not want to go into detail, inshallah. We're just touching the points in order to reach to the objective that we have to understand the historical roots of the events of Karbala. Salawat alaykum.